of the tomb of Mahaba, who was buried underneath. And Tom, it was getting late afternoon, and Tom said that he would go after water because Prince Ahmed wanted to have all the work planned, and they would probably start opening the passageway into the tomb in the morning. Tom said, well, I'll go get the water. Skeeta, I'll go with you, Tom. He says, no, you boys stay right here. He said, this is no place for me to take you. Prince Ahmed says, that's right, Tom. He says, and be careful. He says, you never know who's watching. So Tom took all the canteens and the water, goatskin bags and everything he could find to fill up the water, and headed on a horse this time across the desert to the oasis, not very far. As he approached the oasis, he saw that it was very lush and green. It was quite a contrast to the hot, burning deserts. Finally, he stopped at the edge of the oasis and took off a couple canteens and threw them over his shoulder, took a goat skin and threw it over his shoulder also, and started to look for the water. It wasn't hard to find because he could look where the grass was tall and where most of the palm trees were. And as he looked around, he didn't see anyone. It was so peaceful and calm. Finally, he heard a voice behind him. Tom. Tom jumped. He said, what? He said, Prince Ahmed told me to come and help you. Oh, he says, you gave me quite a fright. He says, all right. He says, one of the Arabs had come with, followed him up. Tom says, all right, fill up the canteens. He says, I want to take a look around. He says, just in case. He says, who do you expect to find? He says, well, no one, I hope. Tom left, and this Arab began to fill in the goat skins with the cool water. Tom took a look around. He didn't see anyone. At least he thought he didn't see anyone. When he came back, he says, all right, let's get loaded up and let's get. And as he looked down near the water, he saw that the water was red.
Oh, red.
He rushed over and he saw the Arab with his head under the water and a knife wound in his back. Tom picked him up, carried him over. He was dead. Tom looked at the knife wound again. He looked around and saw no one. He remembered the curse of Mahaba. How could this be? There was no one. He looked, and there was no one around. Tom looked around again. The canteens were all filled except one. He went to the other side of the oasis, that is the pool, and filled it up, had all his water loaded. He was ready to pick the Arab up and put him on the back of the horse, of his horse, that he had come on, and take him back and tell Prince Ahmed what had happened. Because Tom couldn't believe this. He believed that there was a curse of Mahaba, but not like this. As Tom reached down to pick up the Arab, he heard a voice. Well, my friend, we meet again.
Oh, Yama, Yama.
Tom turned around. There was Oyama. Tom says, well, Oyama, I guess I should have known. He says, I've been waiting for this moment, cowboy. Tom had his two guns, but Oyama had in each hand, holding it by the point, two razor-sharp knives. He says, all right, Mr. Cowboy, he says, anytime you want to go for the guns, I'm ready. He says, well, how, Oyama, he says, I always heard you're a sporting man. Oyama is a very sporting man. He says, could I move away from the horses in the water? He says, be my guest. Tom moved over to the right, clear of the horses, And now they were standing facing each other, face to face in the open. Oyama smiled. He says, "Well, Tom," he says, "I found out everything." He says, "You're the one that blew up the ship." Tom kind of smiled. He says, "That's right, Oyama." He says, "You're a smart man." He says, "I'm smart enough to know that you're not going to get away with it." He said, "This is far as you go." He says, "I know you're a friend of Prince Ahmed's, and I know what you're doing." He says, "And I'm yet sending word to Yakara as fast as I can ride." Tom looked at him. He says, "What makes you think you're going to ride anywhere?" Oyama smiled. He says, "May I remind you aboard ship the contest we had?" He says, "When you fired and even missed." He says, "By the time you get your guns out, Mr. Dawson," he says, "you will be filled with two knives." He says, "That might be. You're very fast." Oyama said, "Thank you." He says, "Now, I think we're wasting our time." He says, "Let's get this over with." Tom says, "All right, whenever you're ready."
Set the curtain.
The two of them stood there facing each other. Tom watched him. Oyama was like a cat ready to pounce upon a mouse. Every nerve in his body was tingling with excitement because he was going to let both knives go. And Tom knew that he was the fastest and the most accurate knife thrower of the desert. Tom also knew what had happened when they had the contest before. He says, "All right." He says, "Oyama," he says, "do you want to count or you want me to count?" He says, "You be my guest." He says, "This might be your last time." He says, "All right." He says, "One." He says, "On the count of three, two, three." There were knives flashing through the air and there was gunfire. And when everything stopped, Oyama was standing, smiling. Tom was down on the ground. Oyama looked. "You see?" He says, "You see?"
He's faking it. He didn't get it. He's up.
Tom looked up. He saw Oyama standing there, and he noticed right in the middle of his tunic was a little red spot. It was getting bigger. He says, "You see, cowboy? I told you." He says, no one kills Oyama." Tom looked up and watched him. And as he looked, he saw the spot get bigger and bigger. And Oyama just stood there. He says, "I warned you, cowboy. You got exactly what you deserved." Tom finally stood up. He says, "Oyama, you missed completely." No, it can be." He says, "I'm afraid so, Oyama." He says, "But nobody kills Oyama." As Tom looked up, he saw him grit his teeth. And as he looked down, he saw the big red spot with blood dripping down the side of his tunic. He says, "Nobody kills." And he crumbled into the sand. Tom rushed up. He was dead. They had their duel, and of course, Tom knew that he could outdraw him with a knife, but Oyama didn't know that because Oyama felt very confident that he could outthrow Tom's guns anytime because he already proved it, not knowing that Tom deliberately let him do it because Tom knew that probably something like this would come up again, and he was right. And Tom was quite confident when he challenged him to a duel because that's what Tom wanted, because he knew he could outdraw him, which he did. Because as Tom pulled both guns, he threw himself, he was in midair when he fired. And when the knives came right above his head, of course they missed him because he was laying down, and Oyama assumed that he would stand there. And Tom was down on the ground, and that's why he looked up and he saw Oyama standing and Tom was on the ground. And of course, Yama finally collapsed on the ground. Tom had the both horses now loaded down with the goatskin water bags, and he loaded the bodies on the back of one of the horses and started to go back to camp. Prince Ahmed saw him coming first. He jumped on his horse, on one of his palomino ponies, and rushed out to him. He says, "Tom, what happened?" Tom says, "I have two dead people." He says, "One of my men?" He says, "Yes." And he said, "Who is the other one?" He says, "Oyama." Prince Ahmed looked, "Oyama?" He says, "What brings him out here?" He said, "Do you think Yakara is nearby?" Tom says, "I don't think so." He says, "I think Oyama must have been the one that I saw. He had come to challenge me to a duel." And finally, when they got close enough, Jackie and Skeeter rushed up. He said, "Tom, what happened?" Tom got off the horse, and Prince Ahmed says, "Unload the water." He says, "Well, Jackie, Skeeter," he says, "Oyama challenged me to a duel." He said, "He wasn't fast enough." He said, "Tom," he said, "you old trickster, you." He said, that's why you didn't beat him on board ship. Tom says, "Exactly." He said he was very confident that he could outplay me, but it didn't work. Prince Ahmed says, "Tom," he says, "that's a great victory for us." He says, "Oyama is second in command to Yakara." He says, "Now, if we could just get to Yakara." Tom says, "Well, I would suggest," he says, "that we make camp fast, and if there's any daylight left, that we immediately start entering the tomb." When the people heard entering the tomb, it was deadly silent. Tom says, "Do you think that makes sense?" He says, "Yes, Tom." He says, "Every minute counts now." He says, "We don't know whether Yakara has heard of our coming here, because if he has, I'm sure he's on his way here." He says, "We must get out of here fast." Tom looked at Prince Ahmed. He says, "Prince Ahmed," he says, "I never disbelieve, but do you believe that the curse of Mahaba is now working?" Prince Ahmed looked. He says, "No, Tom." He says, "No, Tom, according to the legend," and it's more than a legend, believe me, he says, "one must enter the tomb before he arouses the ire of the spirit of Mahaba." Tom says, "Then you think they were dead because of just average reactions?" He says, "I think so." He said, "It just happened." He says, "Let me show you the map." He laid the map out. He says, "Here's where we are." He pointed to a huge rock. He said, "That bottom rock is the first one that has to come out." He says, "When that rock is removed, there's a long tunnel. We must crawl on our hands and knees." He says, "At least 50 yards. Then, as you see here, the tunnel turns to the right. Now, the tunnel is tall enough that we can stand into it. Here, we have a drop of about 30 feet. Tom says, "Well, how do we do that?" He says, "We take ropes along." He says, "Then we go through the long corridor." He says, "This is where you can stand up." He says, "After we get through it," he says, "we come to the mummy room." Jackie says, "The what?" He says, "The mummy room." He says, "Along in the tomb are mummies also buried. Then, as you see here, there's a heavy door. We must open this door, and on the other side lies the body of Mahaba." He says, "We must pry the lid off And if things are as they're supposed to be, he says, in the mummy case, he says, are the jewels and the diamonds and the gold that we've come after. Tom says, and then what do we do? He said, then it's very simple. He says, we have the sacks and bags with us. We load up and put the lid back on and get out as fast as we can. And that's it. Tom thought, that's it. He wanted to say, if we get out of there alive, but he didn't want to frighten anybody. Skeet said, well, why don't we get started? Tom says, Skeeter, Jackie, he says, you two are not going in. He says, the curse doesn't affect anyone except when you enter, and you two boys are not going to enter. He said, well, okay, Tom, but he says, we want to be with you. He says, not this time. He says, I want you to stay outside. Tom says, Prince, he says, Ahmed, do you think we should start? He says, I'll get some of the men on this big rock. He says, all right, men. He says, you five, over here, bring your picks. He pointed to the huge rock at the base of the pyramid. He says, let's dig this out. He says, when you jar it loose, he says, we'll get the ropes on it, get the horses, and we'll pull it out. The other men were busy setting up camp, getting everything ready for the morning when they would finally enter the tomb. The sun was sinking behind the sand dunes, and things were getting kind of dimmish-like because of the twilight. And finally one of the men says, Prince Ahmed, he said, it's loose. Everybody rushed over. He says, all right, let's get it out. They got the ropes and the winches and everything and got the horses and they began to pull and the men heaved with crowbars. Heave! And inch by inch, this huge rock began to come out and finally they got it way out on the end and it toppled over and fell out. And it was very quiet and speechless as everybody looked at this dark, gaping hole in the side of the pyramid. They could even smell the musty air coming out of the tomb. Everybody around had that weird, creepy feeling as if the door had been opened to a monster that would attack, and yet they knew that something dreadful was going to happen. Prince Ahmed says, all right, man, he says, that's it. He says, we'll rest for the night. He says, we'll be up early in the morning. He says, I'll have two guards on duty, he says, in shifts. He says, just in case. Tom says, what are we going to watch for? He says, two things, Tom. He says, Yakara and his men. Tom says, and the next one? The curse of Mahaba. Tom looked at him as if he quite didn't believe, but yet he knew he had to. Jackie and Skeeter slept in a tent a few feet away from Tom because of the arrangements. And finally, when it was dark, everybody crawled into the tent except the guards. One was sitting on the huge rock. The other one was way on the other side of the pyramids. And everything was very, very still and quiet. The stillness of the night could be felt, almost penetrating the body. Skeeter and Jackie were almost asleep. Tom was trying to stay awake, yet he knew he had to get some rest. And finally, the camp was in complete silence. Skeeter had almost dozed off when he looked over towards the front end of the tent and saw the flap of the tent slowly open. Over and saw no one. He said, Jackie, Jackie, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, there's somebody in here. Jackie says, who? Who? He said, I don't know. He said, look at the flap. It's still moving. He said, he must have gone out. Jackie says, old Skeeter. He says, there's nobody in here. Tom had heard the noise. He rushed over. He says, what's wrong, boys? He says, Skeeter thought there was somebody in here. Tom looked around. He says, there's no one in here, Skeeter. He says, you're having a nightmare. He says, you boys get to sleep. He says, we've got to get up early in the morning. He went over to the guard on the rock. He says, how is everything going? Everything's fine so far. He says, everything's fine. Skeeter and Jackie went back to sleep. That is, Jackie did. So did Tom. Skeeter was afraid to go to sleep because he knew. He felt the presence of something or someone that he couldn't see enter the tent. In fact, he could almost feel it. And he knew something drastic would happen tonight. They had taken the big rock out of the side of the pyramid, and it was late at night, and Skeeter felt this flap slowly opening, and he yelled out a scream, and Tom came. And finally they looked around, and there was no one there. He said, Tom, I felt somebody. He said, like somebody around my neck. Tom looked. Well, he says, Skeeter, he says, now, you have an imagination, you know that. He said, no, Tom, this time I just felt it. Prince Amis says, Tom, says, if I were you, I wouldn't be arguing with the boy. He may be right. Tom says, you mean to tell me that? He said, it could be. He says, but we haven't entered the tomb. I thought you told me that only if you enter the tomb. You see, Tom, we have desecrated the tomb. We have taken out the rock. And it could be that the spirit feels that we already have done harm. Tom kind of smiled. He says, Prince Ahmed, now, are you trying to tell me the spirit of Mahaba came out here and entered Skeeter's tent? He says, well, I'm not saying anything. He says, we'll wait and see. He says, let's get some sleep. Tom says, all right, Jackie Skeeter. He says, get back to sleep. He said, I'll tie this up to make sure it doesn't open. So they finally went all back to sleep, except the guards. Skeeter had an awfully hard time falling asleep because he remembered that he did see the flat moon. Jackie fell asleep. Skeeter was still awake. And as he lay there looking, listening to the stillness of the night, he looked at the flap again. And he was positive he saw it moving. In fact, he saw the ropes move. Jackie! Jackie! What's wrong? He says, the flap. Skeeter looked at Jackie, and in the dim light, Jackie looked, and he saw the rope moving. He says, shh. What are we going to do? Tom! Tom jumped up and ran. He said, what's wrong? He said, Tom, he says, I saw it too. He said, look, some of the ropes are undone. Tom looked, and sure enough, they were. He says, now, maybe the guard came up, wanted to check on you. He says, I'll go see. He rushed up. He said, did you see anybody around Skeeter and Jackie's tent? He says, no, I didn't. He says, I heard one of the boys scream. Tom says, all right, boys. He said, if you make you feel better, he says, I'll bring my bedroll in here. Jackie says, I sure would, Tom. He said, please. Prince Ahmed got up. He says, now what's wrong, Tom? He says, And the boys, both of them, saw something. He said, I'm going to sleep in here with them if you don't mind. He says, I think that's a wise decision, Tom. He says, I'm getting to the point, Tom, and he took him over to the side. He says, if you wish to turn back, Tom, he says, I couldn't ask any man to risk his life. Tom says, I came all this way. Jackie and Skeeter heard him. He said, Tom, Jackie came in, he said, Tom, he says, if you're going in the tomb, we are too. Tom says, that's forbidden. Jackie says, well, Tom, he said, if you go in the tomb, and suppose your Carl's men come. He said, they could come any time. He says, I want to be with you. He said, if the worst comes to worst. Tom says, Prince Ahmed, he said, is there a chance that Yakara knows about our being here? He said, yes, Tom. He may be on his way over here, for all I know. He said, but what if he comes when we're in the tomb? He says, I suspect that would please Yakara a great deal. In fact, I'm sure he would seal the tomb, and we would all be buried alive. He says, aren't you having someone stay out here? Oh, he says, yes. He says, I plan to have 3 men. He says, but if Yakara comes, he says, there won't be anybody. Tom says, in that case, then, Prince Ahmed, he says, I think maybe the boy should come with me. He says, very well, Tom. He says, I'm going to leave the choice up to you. He said, but we better get some rest. He says, morning will be here very shortly.